So when he went to get up on the truck, he laid his gun, loaded gun down on the table. But it took me a minute to find that loaded gun, and I had his both hands and pinned him down up against the truck. And I had a brother-in-law outside running a tractor out there. And I told one of the colored boys, I said, you go out there and get Mr. out there and let him come in. He wouldn't do it. So it was just, I saw them, it was just between me and this other nigga, that they wasn't going to do anything to help him or me either. Mm-hmm. So I turned that nigga around and put me between him and that loaded gun. I didn't want him to get a hold to it. And I knew if I got a hold to it, I may have to shoot him, so I was just going to try to hold him till a brother-in-law cut that tractor off out there where he could hear me holler. I'd holler two or three times for him to come in there. He hadn't heard. But while he cut the tractor off. And all the time, this nigga raring, cussing, raiding Cane Dog, he's going to whoop my ass, and he could whoop me any time of day, and he was just letting me hold him and all this, that, and the other. And I knew that he wasn't letting me hold him because it's all I could do to hold him. So after brother-in-law come in and unloaded the gun, I told him, I said, get that gun away and unload it. He unloaded it. Yes. And I turned the negro loose, and he's still talking about all what he's going to do to me. I said, well, you better just go on home, think about this thing a while. No, I'm going to beat your ass. This, that, and the other. So I just told him to have at it. Thought maybe he wouldn't, but he did. He flew right back into me. So I used to do a lot of boxing. So I just boxed him there a time or two and knocked him down on his face on the concrete. In the meantime, brother-in-law had loaded this gun back because he didn't know whether was going to come up with another pistol or not. And this is what brought the subject on it. All colored people got pistols in their pocket most of the time when they're out like that. Mm-hmm. And after he fell on the floor on his face, I caught him by the hair of the head and I had gotten mad about then, too. I was fixing to bust his head up against the concrete, but I kind of caught myself. I really didn't want to hurt the boy. And I told him, I asked him, did he have enough? Yeah, I said, boss, you the best. You done whooped me, this, that, and the other. And I said, well, you get up and go on home. He got up, he asked for his gun. I said, no, I can't give you that gun now. It's a brand new gun, which my brother had loaned him the money to buy the gun. Mm-hmm. He never got paid back for it. So it was about a $60 gun. I said, well, I'll give it to a fellow colored fella here, and he'd keep it tonight, and you can get it tomorrow, but you ain't gonna get it this evening. He said, well, you got that goddamn gun, but you ain't got them all. I'll be back. So he went home to get another gun and brought his wife back. She had a hand in the pocket. She never took a hand out of the pocket. Meanwhile, the REA people went up there to turn his lights on. And he got on them, cussing, raving, came at them about, don't ever come back up and turn my lights off, I'll kill you, and this, that, and the other. And they looked at him and said, boy, what happened to you? He said, a transmission fell on me down there. He was all beat up. He wouldn't tell them that he'd been in a fight with a white man. His transmission fell on. But he had reason to find out the reason, so the nigger wouldn't help him. He goes for bad. He and the other niggers have had several fights with him there before when they just didn't want anything to do with him. Mm-hmm. They really wanted me to whoop him what they wanted to do. And they was all glad when I did. Mm-hmm. So the next morning we went down there and told him he just forget what he owed us, but just go ahead and get off the place. So he moved that morning.
Well, he's been kicked off of your place. Where